Jim Elliott and four other missionaries, Nate Saint, Ed McCauley, Peter Fleming, and Roger Udarian, were seeking to reach out to a fierce Ecuadorian tribe known as the Alcas when those same Indians turned on them. The shocking news of the deadly attack spread around the world. But Jim's widow, Elizabeth, surprised many when she and her young daughter, Valerie, lived there with the same tribe for 2 years. On Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares with you the lessons learned through that and many other events in her remarkable journey. Thanks for joining us for Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. And that's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Well, this is your friend Elizabeth Elliott, back again to talk with you about life at Strawberry Cove. Just some inside glimpses of how life goes on Strawberry Cove, where my husband, whose name is Lars Gren, and I live. And for those of you who haven't heard the explanation before, I do need to explain that my name is really Elizabeth Gren, G-R-E-N, and I'm not refusing my husband's name, but my name has been Elizabeth Elliott on my books for so many years that publishers would not be very happy with me if I decided at this point to change it. So my pen name is Elizabeth Elliott, and I go by that publicly, but please be assured that I'm really Mrs. Lars Gren. But he and I live on Strawberry Cove, a little cul-de-sac in Magnolia, Massachusetts. And on the morning when I prepared this talk, I had baked some bread, had my brother Tom for breakfast. He lives about 6 miles away. Made the phone calls that I always try to make on Saturday. I call my Aunt Ann Howard down in Quarryville, Pennsylvania, and I call my daughter, or I wait for her to call me, since she lives in California and the time change makes it a bit inconvenient if I were to call her too early. Then because Lars was away in Florida, I called him, and then I had to call the church about something, and of course, there's always the mail. I have the newsletter to think about. I also write articles once in a while, and on this particular day, I had an article that was going to be due for Christian Herald. I had also the usual cleaning and the washing and planting bulbs that day. In the fall, we plant the bulbs for next spring. And I had neglected that for several years, so I had dug up the bulbs when the leaves had finally died last summer. And out of what was originally, I think, about 15 or 20 bulbs, I had 100 to replant this fall. I don't know whether they're actually thinking about coming up by the time this program is aired, or whether they're going to think about coming up at all. I'm not really the world's greatest gardener, but I'm hoping and praying that they'll respond. And you know, I really do thank God for work. I hope you do too. Writing is the hardest work, but I'm thankful for that too. It's a privilege. And if some of you might be feeling just a wee bit envious of the kind of work I do, wishing that that kind were your assignment, let me read a lovely meditation on this subject from a writer of the 14th century. John Towler. Whence comes it that we have so many complaints, each saying that his occupation is a hindrance to him, while notwithstanding his work is of God, who hindereth no man? Whence comes this inward reproof and sense of guilt, which torment and disquiet you? Dear children, know that it is not your work which gives you this disquiet. No, it is your want of order in fulfilling your work. It's not your work, it's your lack of order in fulfilling your work that gives you this disquiet. If you performed your work in the right method, with the sole aim to God and not to yourselves, your own likes and dislikes, nor sought your own gain or pleasure, but only God's glory in your work, it would be impossible that it should grieve your conscience. It is a shame for a man if he have not done his work properly, but so imperfectly that he has to be rebuked for it. For this is a sure sign that his works are not done in God, with a view to his glory, and the good of his neighbor. I love that, the fact that if I work rightly, in the right order, and aiming at the glory of God and not my own glory, not for my own likes and dislikes and gain and pleasure, but for God's glory, then there's no way that the work is going to grieve my conscience. And I also believe that my work is not going to be boring. I just asked Jan if she knew what Lisa, who's one of the people that works here in a studio nearby where we're recording, I said, you know what she does? She sits at a TV screen. Every time I look in there, there sits Lisa looking at that TV screen. And Jan said, no, she didn't know what she did. And I thought, what could be more boring than that? And then I thought, that's ridiculous, you know. Nothing needs to be boring if we do it for God. That is what transforms a job. It ought to transform any job and every job. Those words were from John Towler of the 14th century, and here's some from Henry Van Dyke of the 19th and possibly the early part of the 20th century. I'm not sure when Henry Van Dyke died. They who tread the path of labor follow where my feet have trod. They who work without complaining do the holy will of God. That word my in the first line is capitalized. I'm going to read that again. Some of you might want to write that down and maybe memorize it and teach it to your children. It would be a good thing to put up on your refrigerator. They who tread the path of labor follow where my feet have trod. They who work without complaining do the holy will of God. I'll read it one more time. And don't forget to capitalize my. They who tread the path of labor follow where my feet have trod. They who work without complaining, do the holy will of God. If you just got the last line, that's good enough. They who work without complaining, do the holy will of God. But don't let the difference between what you do and what I do cause you to discount the truth of Towler's words and Van Dyke's words. It's the same Lord, 14th century, 19th century, 20th century. It's the same word, yesterday and today and forever. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Isn't it wonderful to have something that's never going to change? Absolutely dependable. And let's remember, too, that our work is perfectly appointed for our needs. God knows exactly what we can do and what we ought to do for His glory. And all of it is given by His love. The will of God is always love. And the purpose of God is always our joy and bliss and fulfillment. He wants to bring us into conformity with His Son. What could be more perfect than being like the Lord Jesus? We gain a lot when we quit struggling against the circumstances that God's love has chosen for us. And what peace comes in acceptance. I've been talking for a few days about life at Strawberry Cove, and I'm not telling you anything that I am not myself trying to learn as I move about my work, in my kitchen, in my study, or wherever I am. These are applicable to Strawberry Cove, and I believe with all my heart that they're applicable to wherever you live too. God bless you, and may God teach you that every experience, if you offer it to Jesus, can be your gateway to joy.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.